Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Listening to the Spurs fan show, the crazy train has pulled into Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined with the last word on Spurs, Ricky Sachs, Jamie Brann and Lee McQueen. What a show we are set to have for you tonight, because there is so much to discuss. What a last few days it has been for Spurs, the result against Wolves, twice leading and then coming back and winning that game. But we are, of course, discussing last night's FA Cup exit at the hands of Norwich in a penalty shootout. The inquest, the fallout begins right here, and you can have your say tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Well, we decided to kick it off with Crazy Train, and Mr. Crazy is back himself. Oi, oi. Lee, good to see you as always, looking dapper as ever.
Well, do you know what I mean? Got the Buffon's coming back as well, so
the glad something's coming back.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. So, good evening, lads. Good evening, listeners. Thanks for having me back in on an absolutely storming... it wasn't storming victory, was it, yesterday? Not great, lads, not great. But look, I'm sure we'll get into it. I think at the end of the day, Mr. Positive... Even I can't defend some of the stuff that's going on. So we'll get into it, I'm sure, won't we, Chaz?
Yeah, we will get into it. Mr. Positive, not a good sign if he's not so positive anymore. I said to Ricky earlier, my barometer of how Spurs are doing depends on Mr. Jamie Brann, yes. Because if he doesn't defend the team, then my hope for the team is gone as well, because normally he is always the one saying, look at what we've done, look at what we are achieving this season. Let's keep it on Norwich last night then. Obviously not what we wanted to happen, not what we wanted, obviously, at the end of the night. But Ricky, for you, text me at the end, so angry. How are you feeling now?
I still think exactly the same as how I felt last night. I think until now, I've been quite patient, quite calm in terms of Jose Mourinho, and I've always felt that, you know, you needed to give him a full pre-season to get his own players in, to have the opportunity to work with the squad. But I am going to say, on the back of that game last night, to have to watch us play at home to Norwich City, bottom of the Premier League, like that, for 120 minutes, where there were the majority of that game periods where we sat back, Tottenham Hotspur, sitting back to Norwich City, bottom of the table, as I say again, in the Premier League. I will not be able to stomach that, for much longer. And listen, I understand without Harry Kane, I understand without Heung-min Son, the two most attacking players in our squad, I totally get that. But at the same time, you have to adapt. You have to. And I said a couple of weeks ago that you have to find a way of making this period sustainable without your key players. And this is the key. And at the moment, you know, something has to change. Something has to change, because Mourinho is losing fans, you know, overnight at the moment. There's a lot of people that have already lost him. There's a lot of people that will never give him a chance. And, you know, to some degree, I was one of those that would give him an opportunity. But, I mean, I'll be honest, if he carries on playing football like that, then... I don't think how long I can be around watching that, I'll be honest.
I just don't want to forget that we are missing Harry Kane and Heung-min Son. Yeah. So that, you know, that's going to take time to kind of find a new system. If we have to keep chopping and changing, that's really difficult for him. But the thing for me is the kind of the way he's handled this situation at the moment, and the way that he's kind of coming out and the comments he's making in the press, it's all very negative. And in a time where we kind of need a manager who's going to be supportive of the players, when results are the way they are, and the fans as well, obviously being negative as well, they need that manager. And unfortunately, Mourinho just is not, can be in complete opposite what we need at the moment.
It's interesting, actually, just to interact. So I do agree with you, and we just said off air, didn't we? You know, like, sure. You know, the whole defending of Mourinho and the tactics and whatever it might be. But, you know, when you read, you know, it, let's be honest, Twitter or social media, I mean, it is absolutely toxic. Mm. There's no doubt about it. I'll be honest with you. I've spent 2 years trying to build my Twitter from being the apprentice winner to a Spurs, you know, fan Twitter handle type thing. And I don't want to even look at it anymore. I don't, you know, it's turning me off. Like, it's meant to be fun. For the first time yesterday, I went to the stadium with all of my crew in the south stand, because we've got 3 season tickets in the south, got 3 in a different area, and so on and so forth. And for the first time this season in the new stadium, all of us were there at the same, and it was awful.
Yeah.
No, it was lovely to see my boys and whatever, but it was just like, what I would say is, I think we created an area in the south which was singing, and it was singing, and the atmosphere for the first half was pretty good. Went go 1-0 up, and you think, go on then, lads, have a go. And I think that's been the issue the whole time, is we don't seem to have a go. And again, I defend Jose a little bit in terms of tactical play and this, that, and the other, because these problems were going on before Jose arrived at the club. And we've just got to put perspective in it. And I bring up social media and everything else, and I include myself in this as well. Sometimes we do, all of us as a fan base, act like spoiled children, right? And we forget the fact that, you know, we've done some wonderful things and this, that, and the other, but we do act like spoiled children. Sometimes it's amazing and sometimes it's absolute death.
There's never no middle balance, is there?
You have to have something in between. I'm not here to be a happy clapper, Chaz. What I am saying is, you've got to put some sort of perspective in the transformation that we're having to go through. Yeah. You know, we let Pochettino go, rightly or wrongly, everyone's got their own view on it. We were 14th in the league. We just got knocked out by Colchester. You know, it was the same. It's a similar situation. And we talked about contract rebels. We talked about players, you know. And then we've just gone and lost the two most potent goal threats. Mm. It is difficult times, but we have to stick together in difficult times. That's what I'm saying. Tonight, we're going to have probably, 10-plus calls, all absolutely battering Tottenham. And fair enough, because it is a fan show. That's what it's all about. Sure. But the reality of the situation is, we need to try and stick together in these times and get through them. I do believe in my gut, like I said in the WhatsApp group yesterday, I do think we will get through the times.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it's going to take. It might take 6 months on this crazy train. It might be 3 years. But I do think that we'll get through it. We've just got to be strong, people.
Well, are the wheels off on that crazy train? We're going to go to a caller now. Shubin calling from Enfield. Shubin, always good to speak to you. And I know you want to talk actually a little bit about the positive. We were going to come to that a little bit later. But you were really impressed with Skip last night.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've only ever remember seeing him properly on the youth leagues when they used to have those. I think the Spurs are in those. And one thing I always noticed about him was that he never seemed rushed. He always seemed to know the right decision, which seemed very odd for a player that was so young. And he still is quite young now. And yesterday, you know, I don't think we were particularly wonderful, but you know, he stood out. I mean, he knew when to make a tactical foul, when not to. And I didn't think he was going to get like two bookables. So good passing, good tackling. And I don't know if he'll be playing on Saturday against Burnley's Bruisers, but I don't know why not. I mean, Scotty Parker wasn't that huge, but you know, he wasn't someone, you know, you'd kick off the ball quite easily, would you? So, interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I think he was one of the very few positives to come out of the game last night. And, you know, hopefully he's a player that can now have the opportunity to play under Mourinho long-term. I think Mourinho has shown that even with Tanganga, he's willing to give youth the opportunity. I think we're all disappointed by maybe how he's handled Troy Parrott so far to some degree. But I think Skip is one of those players that he can come out with a decent amount of praise.
He also plays as kind of a holding midfielder as well, and that's something that Spurs have really needed. And I was really, really impressed with him yesterday. He seemed to kind of get everywhere. His passing was really good.
Completed
as well.
Completed 91% of his passes.
Oh, there you go. It was a brilliant stat. So, yeah, his passing was fantastic. And for me, I would start him again on the weekend because I was that impressed with him. Clearly, he has been getting on the bench, unlike Troy Parrott. So maybe that does suggest that Mourinho sees something in him as that's a guy that is driven and that wants to play for Spurs. And for me, his effort certainly showed that last night.
Yeah, certainly showed that. Shubin, how are you feeling? Obviously, Lee's talking about social media and the split on the fans at the minute, and obviously there's a lot of questions regarding Jose. What do you make on the whole situation?
It's a tough one. I mean, obviously, that Champions League run last year was amazing, but obviously things need to change. I mean, like, we've got some good players coming through, obviously not just Skip Tanganga, but like Gio Lo Celso. I mean, he was running on fumes towards the end of that game, but without him, I don't think we would have even got anywhere near the kind of creativity we need. And I'm just hoping we can get keep him fit, get Tangy off the burgers and keep him fit and go from there.
Yeah, Shubin, it's a really good point. Really appreciate you calling into the studio as well.
Cheers, and Shubin.
You can call as well, 0208 7020 558. We go straight to another call, this time from Adam in Derby. And Adam, I believe you want to speak a little bit about what you perceive the philosophy is under Jose.
Hi, guys. You guys all right?
Yeah, you all right, Adam? Yeah. Mate, getting on, mate?
Just about.
We're getting there, fella. We're getting there.
Nah, I'm frustrated. What I wanted to speak about is I'm not too sure what Mourinho's philosophy is. I'm very confused.
I think it's a brilliant point, I have to say. You know, it is very confusing, isn't it? You know, what is he trying to do here?
There is no identity at the moment,
What is he trying to do? Because he's come to the club. Okay, fair enough, he's won a lot of trophies and stuff. But Carlo Ancelotti's coming to Everton, and we can see what he's trying to do. Yeah. Arteta's gone into Arsenal, and we can clearly see what he's trying to do. And these are managers that have come in after him. So what is he trying to do with the squad? What I want to know is when our players have the ball, what they're supposed to do with the ball, and when they don't have the ball, what are their jobs off the ball? Because it's very confusing at the moment.
I think the other frustrating thing is at this, especially at this time, we need someone that is going to be in there that's going to kind of bring a philosophy, because there are a lot of talented players in this squad. For me, there were some good individual performances today. And it just needs kind of a manager that's going to be able to bring a definitive style, that's going to be able to bring confidence back to
the
team.
Put an arm around him, Jay, as well.
Exactly. And unfortunately, Jose Mourinho has not quite done that at the moment. And that is a frustrating thing for me. And maybe that's why we are lacking it at the moment.
Yeah, what's interesting, I mean, I agree with Adam to a certain degree. I think when Jose first came in, it was absolutely clear as day what he was trying to do. He was trying to get the left back to tuck in as a third centre back and let the right back go forward. Mm. He's openly said that's what he's meant to do. In the first game, Ben Davies gets injured, and then he decides, okay, still got to try and go with that. But then Jan Vertonghen, everyone's saying Jan Vertonghen's legs gone. And by the way, side point, thought he was outstanding in the first half.
He was absolutely
fantastic. And in the second half as well, we made the energy go up a notch, and that was Jan. So, you know, all his legs are gone and this, that, and the other. But then he's playing him there, and then Tanganga comes in and he plays him there, and then Kane gets injured, so then he ain't got his target man or his striker, and then Song gets injured. So I think I don't want to keep going back to injuries, but Jose does have a point, and Jamie made it right at the beginning of the show. His philosophy, if you can call it that, Adam, is probably completely interrupted around them injuries. So again, and everybody's saying, oh, we'll give him until the summer and so on and so forth, but I think the frustration is coming because of his negativity and the words that he's saying. I mean, you can't be coming out and saying that sort of thing, even if you feel it. But then is he just being honest?
Well, that's the thing. We as supporters know that there are issues. We understand that because of all the injuries that we've had. I mean, there's not many teams are going to have Heung-Min Son and Harry Kane out for as long as we have. So we understand that, but we don't want to know as supporters who are, you know, the away supporters are going to go to Burnley on the weekend and then Leipzig in midweek, and they don't want to know that we're going to have to choose which game we want to prioritise because we don't have the squad. We don't want to hear that.
Yeah, strange comments that Jose made.
But yesterday when we had the ball in the game, the ball was at the back. It was being knocked between Dyer and Sanchez, and then we had Aurier also at the back. But what the problem was, we're not transitioning the ball from the back to the front. I know we haven't got Kane and Son, but even if Kane and Son were playing yesterday, how were they supposed to get the ball? The ball has to go from the defence through the midfield, and then it arrives at Kane and Son.
No, I agree. I think that's the main problem, Adam, that we have to find a way of adapting. You know, I think you sometimes have to play to some of the player's strengths and not to the way Jose wants to play. And this is so very key for me. I think, you know, sometimes, for the benefit of the players, you have to adjust the way you want to play that suits them. And at the moment, nobody seems very comfortable in their positions. And again, we keep bringing up the point about Noah Heung-Min Son and Harry Kane. I still think there's enough quality on that pitch last night to find a way against bottom of the table Norwich. Do we all agree on that?
I do get you that he needs to adapt. But over time, you know, we all want Mourinho to bring a certain style that's going to start winning us games. And I do understand why he will stick with that, because he wants to get certain players used to playing in that way. Now, at the moment, it just doesn't seem very clear. And for me, that does mostly come down to the fact that we are missing so many key players.
Yeah, missing so many key players. We really appreciate all of you.
We're freestyling.
Yeah.
At the moment, we're freestyling. We've not got an actual style of play. Not one Spurs fan could come in here today and tell you what our style of play is, because what we're doing is we're freestyling. We're Tottenham Football Club. We shouldn't be freestyling at the moment. We should have a clear identity and a clear way to play.
Yeah, I think that's the problem, Adam. No one really knows the identity, but we appreciate you calling into the show tonight.
Thanks, Adam.
As so many of you are at the minute, if you're trying to get through, please do keep trying. 0208 7020 558. Genuinely, there's quite a backlog of calls, but when we come back, we will be talking about Spurs' identity.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with Last Word on Spurs, Ricky Sachs, Jamie Brand and Lee McQueen, and joined by you tonight, so many of you getting in touch, having your say on what you're seeing from Tottenham at the minute. A bad week for them. Where is the light at the end of the tunnel? We're going to obviously be talking about the philosophy. I know Lee's got some great points on that, and of course we won't be forgetting about the Eric Dier situation from last night. We will be covering that as well, but we go straight to another caller, and you can call as well, 0208 7020 558, this time from Tyler, because Tyler, you want to talk a little bit about that philosophy and the lack of passion that you're seeing from the players.
Yeah, and I don't think everything's down to Mourinho. I think the tactics are a problem. It is all too negative, but I think the problem didn't start when Mourinho came in. They've been there from the beginning of the season when we had a fully fit squad, when we had Kane, when we had Son, when we didn't have these players so tired because they have to play midweek games all the time and there's like a lack of squad. But I think part of the passion isn't just running around the pitch giving your all physically, but also mentally, which I don't see. I don't see anyone wanting to find an attacking pass, someone wanting to make a run off the ball, wanting to do something to win a game. And think how much it means, certainly with the FA Cup game last night, how much it means to the fans and to the club just to win that trophy.
The only thing I would say is that does need the manager to be able to, kind of that stems from the manager and the way that he has been speaking about them, the negativity that he's kind of been breeding.
It feeds off the players.
I do, and that's what frustrates me, because I really want Jose Mourinho to succeed at Spurs, and I still think that he has a chance of doing so. But that ultimately, that motivation comes from the manager. Under Pochettino, towards the end of his reign, I think we knew that he kind of hit himself, he lost motivation. So he wasn't able to motivate the players. So it needed a manager to come in that was able to come and do that. And unfortunately, at the moment, Mourinho, the way he's kind of been acting and behaving, it doesn't really feel like he's been doing that at the moment.
I think, Tyler, I think you make a fantastic point, and it comes on to some of the things that I've been looking into in terms of transformation and change. And I do a lot of this in a different world in terms of business and not in sport, but I think it's got the same principles. And ultimately, Toby wouldn't have signed under Poch.
No,
I mean, absolutely clear.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So there was a divide there, or we wasn't on the same page. And I think that's the point. Everybody needs to be on the same page. Everybody needs to be pulling in the same direction in any type of team environment. And the points that Tyler made, and Jamie, you've just made as well, is that I don't think now we have a clear vision. And Adam, the previous caller, the philosophy, the clear vision, the mental strength, Tyler, that you're talking about, that want to go on and do something, because we don't know where we're going. We're on this train, it's so crazy, we don't know where we're going. We need somebody to come in and actually say, right, think about this, all listeners as well, think about this if I'm going mad, right? For 5 years, we had a philosophy.
We had a plan. Yeah.
For 5 years, we knew where we were going. We were building a training ground. We were building the stadium. We were getting into the Champions League. We all knew what was happening. Yeah. We did as fans. The board knew. The players knew. Everybody knew. They were bought into it. That came to a natural end after Champions League final. And classic Spurs, you can call it Spurs, we didn't win anything in that period. That was the only thing that was missing during that period. But we still have to refresh that period. Man City are going to have to refresh probably next year, whatever. Liverpool have to refresh again. Yeah. 2-3 years now. It just happens all the time. Yep. Fergie was a master at refreshing. Now we're in our refresh period. We didn't have any trophies to celebrate, which is an absolute nightmare for us. But nonetheless, we still got to do it. Where are we going? Where's the plan? Where's the philosophy now? Where's the next 3-4 years? There's no... And for me, it felt like when they sacked Pochettino, it felt like, right, okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get Jose because he's a serial winner. And we all thought that, and it was a little bit of a knee-jerk. What we could have done, not could have, should have, would have, I'm not going to go down that route, actually. All I'm going to say is, I agree with Tyler, is if there's players on the pitch that don't know where we're going, don't know what the philosophy is, don't know where we need to be, how can they give it their all? Yep. Do you understand what I mean? I don't know whether that makes sense.
But no, that's 100%.
That has to be our starting point and our building block for getting out of the rut that we're in.
Especially when you look at, I think it's 16 years since we lost 4 in a row. And I also want to bring on another point quickly that, we've been involved in 12 penalty shootouts since 1966 and we've lost 10 of them. Mm. And that tells you something about the mentality of Tottenham.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tyler, we really appreciate you giving us a call into the studio. Cool, really good questions as well into the team. Jamie, Lee was mentioned in social media, and I kind of want to speak about this. What is the general consensus around Spurs fans? Because Twitter is not always really the right measuring tool. It's not always the right barometer. If you go on the Twitter after any football team, after any game, knee-jerk reactions. But amongst fans, Lee, you standing there, we was all together. What is the feeling about Jose, about the direction, the identity on the whole?
I think first it's an enjoyment thing. I think you have to want to enjoy. It's really tough. I'm not going to lie.
Can't enjoy at the moment.
My journey to my home games are 2 hours, like minimum. Yeah. I didn't get home last night until 1:30 in the morning. Now, I'm not trying to be a martyr here because there's loads of fans that go home and away and our very own Chris Cowley and everything like that. But that's on a school night, right, at 1:30 in the morning. Now, we've had to go and sit seeing that dross. I mean, there's kids in the stadium that have got to go to school the next day and they've got to sit and watch that dross. I think that's the point that our very own Jason was making before. Yeah. It's kind of, we just want to begin to try and enjoy our football again, and it's very difficult to do
that. I think
James,
as much as you know, we want to get behind the team even in these difficult moments, there aren't any clubs in the world, club supporters in the world, that they change, their mood changes upon how the team is playing, and unfortunately at the moment it's just so difficult. You can kind of, you feel it everywhere, you feel it in the stadium. It's just not, no one's as excited to go to Spurs at the moment. I remember in the Champions League last year when we had those two nights, the Ajax game, the Man City game, the atmosphere was amazing. There was a real,
we all felt together,
buzz,
didn't we? We exactly. All felt so together. And I think at the moment we feel fragmented. We need to be rehealed.
Yeah.
And it's just such a far cry. You think 9 months ago I was in a Champions League final, and since that moment we've been knocked out of the Carabao Cup to second division, League Two, Colchester United. We've gone out of the FA Cup to bottom of the table, Norwich in the Premier League, you know. You can't believe the regression of this club in the space of 9 months.
If you take the results, and it comes down to Lee's point, it's the direction.
That's what I mean.
I think that is philosophy
and plans and this, that and the other, but the reality is, it is that you need something. You cannot motivate anybody, right? You can be self-motivated or whatever. You cannot motivate anybody if you don't know where you're going. Mm. You have to know where you're going. You need to put a stake in the ground to work back. You start with the end in mind. That is what you need to do. What does the next 3 years look for? If you were going on a diet, if anyone wants to go on a diet and go training, you don't just rock up at the gym and randomly do, he does need to be fair. You don't want to randomly just do sit-ups and hope for a six-pack. You have a plan, don't you? Have a diet plan. You go 3 times a week. You do specific things that are going to make you. Maybe that's what makes the pre-season that Mourinho needs and so on and so forth. But by now, you would have thought that the positivity that is drained out from him, I think he had maybe 2 weeks worth of being positive, and now it's just negative. And I agree with Jamie at the beginning of the show. You can't be saying that stuff. Regardless if you think it, Mourinho can't be coming out and saying it's like firing a gun with no bullets. Frustrating.
I can feel the frustration in the voice of Lee, and philosophy seems to be a running theme of tonight's show. We go straight to another caller, this time again from the United States, showing your support. This is Lincoln calling from Wyoming, and you want to talk about, you feel, Lincoln, that Mourinho's philosophy doesn't match up with the players.
Yes. Lads, how are you tonight?
Yeah, very good, Lincoln.
Thank you.
Good, mate.
Good. Because I've been sitting there. I've been watching Spurs for 10 plus years now, and I've been watching. Currently, my favorite player is Harry Winks. I love the way that he passes the ball. I love when he finally decides to pass it forward, that he can pick out a good pass. But under Mourinho, he wants him to sit back just on the edge of the 18-yard box and not pass it any direction except for maybe to the center backs.
I think the issue is, I do get that point, is that I think the manager needs to have his own philosophy, and the problem is when he hasn't got those players, I think that's where it becomes really difficult, and you have to question whether Mourinho is the right guy, because if he's got this whole squad, and if you say that the players don't accept the way he plays, his philosophy, then I think Mourinho's in trouble, because he's not going to adapt the way that his philosophy, and unfortunately that's where I think there is trouble at Spurs.
Trouble at Spurs. Sorry, go on, Lincoln.
Is it not the case that we maybe have players that could do that role that Mourinho seems to want Harry Winks to do it a little bit better? Like, Oliver Skip was great last night. Skip played wonderful, and he's a young man, and he could do just exactly what it seems like Mourinho wants Harry Winks to do.
What do you make, Lincoln, just obviously because we're talking in the United States, how do you see it back at home? Like, what is the perception for you, obviously, across the pond with Spurs at the minute? How is the ripples being felt?
That's a great question. Well, obviously, it's a little bit different here. I don't go watch them every week in the stadium, but I do watch every single game that they play on television. And you can see it on the pitch and hear the atmosphere of the crowd at games. And then when I talk to my friends that are Spurs fans, they don't see any motivation from fans at the stadium or players on the pitch to want to play football at this point. It's go out there, kind of stand there for 90 minutes and then walk away losers.
Yeah, it's a difficult time at the minute, Lincoln. We really appreciate you calling,
top
especially
south, Lincoln,
from the
Lincoln.
States, calling from Wyoming. And as well, you can call tonight, 0208 7020 558. I think it's time we took a few of your listener questions and spoke about that Eric Dier situation.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Joined in the studio with the last word on Spurs, Ricky Sachs, Jamie Brown and Lee McQueen. There is still an hour of the show to go. It is not the last word just yet. And there is still so much more for us to say tonight. And you can always get involved as you are proving that. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Call us 0208 7020 558. Well, the lads feel like they've got a bit of a night off, but it's good to hear your views. We go straight to another call, this time from Stelios. Stelios, really good to get you on, becoming a firm favourite in the last few weeks. What are you making about it at the minute? Because I know you want to talk about the direction of the club as well.
Hello, guys. You all right?
You all right, Stelios? Yes, thank you.
Good to hear your voice again, Lee.
Cheers, but I know, mate. I know. Been jet setting here, then everywhere. Now come back to that Josh yesterday.
All right, Stelios, checks in the post.
I wish I was jet setting, not turning up at the lane at the moment.
Oh, yeah. I know, mate. I know. It's hard work, isn't it?
But what I was going to say is, I'm actually quite happy with what is now happening. And I, before you think, what the hell is this one on about now? I'm unhappy with the way we're playing and some of the team selection and the atmosphere in the stadium. And that thing with Dier for me is just the fans and the players now, it's boiling over. I think that was all triggered by an overreaction of what's happening in terms of the team and performances and results. But I don't remember a few weeks ago, I said two things. One was, it's going to turn toxic very, very quickly, not towards the end of the season or the summer. It will happen very quickly. Well, last night for me was that moment where it just went toxic. And it exploded on social media, what fans are now coming out with. And I also said that this summer for me would be a watershed moment for Daniel Levy. I remember saying this. And the reason I'm happy is because, Lee, you mentioned that point about what's the direction of the club, you know, what is the plan, what is the strategy? Well, that always has to come from the top.
For sure.
When the new owners of Liverpool came in 2010, I don't know if you know much about it, but Liverpool went £350 million worth of debt and they were recording losses of £55 million. They came in and they said, right, first thing, make the club financially stable. Took them 4 years. Then in 2014, they said, right, we need to build a world-class first team. Our number one goal now is build a world-class first team that will win trophies, bring the club back to its glory days, and all the other benefits, sponsorship, bigger stadium, naming rights, global brand, it will come off the back of success in the first team. I do not see that with our owners. What I do see with our owners is our goal is let's make a profitable, successful business and trickle down some money and dibble and dabble with different managers until maybe one day it all comes together. There is no direction on the field of play because it's a reflection of the boardroom. I think they really panicked with Poch and didn't back him. Mm. And now we're seeing the back end of it. And what I'm happy about is where Pochettino was scared to, you know, come out and say, guys, I don't have control of this situation. I'm not getting the money. I'm not a manager. I'm a coach. He was coming out with all these kind of cryptic clues as of what was going on. Mourinho is calling out the board.
Yeah, he is, to be fair.
He's come in and he said, listen, the problem is investment in the first team. End of. Levy, what do you want? Burnley or Leipzig, because you're not getting both. He's given the board an ultimatum. Poch never had the balls to do that. I think Mourinho for all his failings on the field, is trying to call out the board in front of the fans. And do you know what? For me, well done, Jose, because you're the first manager that's actually taken Levy on. And that's going to be the watershed moment. Those two will go head-to-head at some point, and then something's got to give. That's my view. And when that happens, then we will see what the future goal and direction is for us. What do you lot think?
I think you make some good points, Telos, to be fair. I mean, I have tried to be Mr. Positive and back everything about the board. You know, they've delivered a world-class stadium, world-class training facilities, you know, all that sort of stuff. Even when they haven't been spending loads of money and the net spend comes into it, I've been sitting here saying, hang on, you know, we've spent a load of money on Tunga and Dembele. We spent, as a record transfer, lots of money on Lo Celso, this sort of stuff. The rebuild started. I think that there is a balance between, you know, there's a blame. We're living in a society, maybe in the world at the moment, it's a blame culture, and we're having to, you know, to justify everything, not you personally, but as fans, we need to blame someone. Oh, it's Jose's fault. Oh, it's Poch's fault. Oh, it's the board's fault. But I think it's a collective everything fault. Exactly, and that's the point I was making before. Yeah. And what Jamie said is that it is a goal of the football club. Before, Daniel Levy did have a goal 5 years ago, 6 years ago, whenever they started planning 10 years ago for the stadium, that was his goal. You know, his philosophy when they bought Pochettino and had a 5-year plan. They ain't got a plan now. So I agree it comes
from the top.
But
remember, do you remember Pochettino, though? He said all this.
No, exactly. Again, it's a vindication,
He said in the summer, we now need a new project. So what is the new goal?
His actual words were, we've got a lovely new house, now we need to put the furniture in it. Yep. And basically, that is what he's talking about. So it's a great point, Stelios. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, we really appreciate you calling, Stelios. We're going to try to get to all of the other calls, people waiting. But Stelios, to hear from you is always a pleasure, a favourite in the last few weeks. We've actually, before we go to the next few calls, let's get your three opinions. We've actually had a tweet in, Lee. It feels like this one is sort of, I could direct this one at you. This is from Martin Dolan saying, gents, Jose divides opinion, not unites. He no longer has a football philosophy, tactics or game plan. He is draining the players. He is draining the fans. We need to get him out now. We need to do the rebuild without him. He's disrupting everything.
Yeah, it's interesting. You're right, Martin. Good evening. I think we follow each other on Twitter. Hello. I think there's a point there, but I think Stelios makes a better point, which is actually Jose is calling out the board, so maybe it is going to come to loggerheads. I think I've never thought of it like that. Again, dividing opinion. I mean, if we've got a guy that's in charge that is kind of a yes sir, no sir, three bags full sir, things won't change for the board, because I think what's coming to roost now is how wonderful a job Pochettino did with the 100%. Players and staff that he had. Yeah. Rick, do you not
think? I think with Pochettino, very quickly, the only way I can psychologically get through this, and many people at the end will probably remind me, you know, that towards the end of his reign, you know, I was very clear that, you know, I felt he took us as far as he can. The only way I can mentally deal with what we're going through now with Mourinho is to remind myself that with Pochettino, if I could have back the man that was the first 2 or 3 years, I would take that man back. But at the end, that wasn't the same man. You know, he was broken. The players never believed in him. As Lee said, you know, Toby Adeville, rightly or wrong, if you want him to be here, he wouldn't have signed that new contract. So for Poch, he was a broken man. He wasn't coming out for training. So I understand why he had to go. I am worried about the future to some degree. I want to see in the next coming months that we are going to have something to look forward to for next season. But Mourinho has to change his attitude. He has to adapt. There's a lot of work to be done now to really save what looks like a wreckage of a season at the moment.
Is there a case that this was always going to be the way this season because of the rebuild? Not obviously crashing out of the FA Cup and losing in the Champions League first leg, which Spurs hopefully will still go through.
Please,
but,
God,
you know, it was always going to take time. Jose getting in. Really, the plan was, obviously they wanted to make top four and hopefully get to a final, win a trophy. But it was year two, a full year under Jose, a full pre-season, as you mentioned, Lee, and a full summer of transfer activity.
Well, we remember Poch's first season. He had lots of difficulties in his first year with players that were causing troubles, and he was given a year to go and kind of get in the right players that he wants, get rid of the players. And Mourinho, what, he's had two or three months, he hasn't had a chance to do that. He's just had to work with the players that he's got. So and that's where maybe we do need to be patient and give him the time.
Jamie, you said it all the time with Tottenham 2.0, the painful rebuild. Everyone's talking about the same word.
But now this people are forgetting it.
They said it'd be painful. Was that be torturous?
No, but this is the painful bit. This is the bit. This is the pain. Look, not being funny, if this is as bad as the pain gets, then we can start on up again. We've got to put a stake in the ground and say, this is where we are going. Mm. And we've done that with the manager.
Does he know where he's going, Lee?
I don't know.
Well, that's maybe a bigger question that we can get to. We're going to quickly go to another caller, this time from Jordan in Basingstoke, who wants to talk about the negative tactics under Mourinho.
Hi, chaps. How you doing?
Hey, Jordan.
Hey, Jordan.
Yeah, good, thank you. It's good to hear you back, Lee.
Cheers, buddy.
So, Lee, loving.
Getting a love. I'm getting some love tonight. Talk to me.
All that apprenticeship love. what it is, chaps, is we've had two opportunities to play Chelsea to leapfrog them in the table. Mm. And Jose, both times, has bottled it and gone for negative tactics. And what pains me is when I saw the team sheet for the last game against Chelsea, I thought, oh, brilliant, he's gone for three at the back, two attacking fullbacks, and we're really going to go for it. When you see a flat back five and a flat four entrenched in their own half, not going forward and letting people attack them, I just find it embarrassing. I find it embarrassing that we do those kind of tactics at home against Leipzig. We played two banks of four entrenched in our own half. We're supposed to be this attacking, fluid team. And Jamie made a good point about the whole Pochettino in his first season. But at least Poch had an identity of how he wanted to play. And that identity fit where Tottenham wanted to go. I just don't think Mourinho fits the mould of where Tottenham want to go and how they want to play. And I find his comments embarrassing. I'm going to make the board decide what games prioritise. You don't want to hear a first-team coach or a manager say that about your team. He is supposed to lead those players into battle. He's supposed to lead from the front. And I just don't think he's doing it.
I think the one thing, I'll look at the Wolves and how they've played 38 games or so this season. They've played more than most teams. They've had they've used pretty much a squad of around 15 different players. And they're not tired, they're not fatigued, because they don't have a manager who's constantly telling them they're tired, who's not telling them that. Mm. He's breeding positivity. And we saw how they played on the weekend. They played free attacking football.
And that was only, they played on the Thursday night before.
Exactly. And they look so, they look so positive. And look, I'd hate to criticise the manager, but I think that's one area where it does annoy me.
The negative tactics are a nightmare. Mm. They are.
I also think
hard
coming
work.
Out when you say only a couple of weeks ago, and he said, our season's, let's write it off now until the end. I mean, what do the players think when they hear that?
Yeah. You can't say that. It's not just his tactics, is it? As Jordan said in the field, it's the management. We motivate each other. We motivate people, course, big teams, whatever. I never go in and start being negative to the team.
How do you put the team to perform?
Of course it does. I'm not being a happy club and being unrealistic. It's about being, who wants to be around, it's not necessarily that, but who wants to be around your leader when he's basically turning around and going, well, I'm looking around here and I've got no bullets in my gun. Do you know what I mean? It's crazy. It's a crazy train, baby.
Crazy train, and we're still going on. The wheels aren't off just yet. Jordan, we really appreciate your call.
Thanks, Jordan.
I promised it. I am going to deliver. We are taking your listener questions next and talking about Eric Dyer.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with Ricky Sachs, Lee McQueen and Jamie Brand. What a show we are having for you today. I hope you've buckled in because it is stressful. And also, you can take the stress out of managing your van insurance with Churchill. Our comprehensive offers give you the peace of mind that you need. 24-hour accident recovery, £500 cover for loss or damaged audio equipment, plus guaranteed repair for 5 years. Visit the van page at churchill.com. Churchill is underwritten by UK Insurance Limited, and Churchill Van is arranged and administered by Brightside Insurance Services Limited. Well, there you go.
I thought when he said about accident insurance, I feel like our season there.
It's a little bit. Can we get
our money back?
Segway. There we go. We need Churchill.
Everybody's getting Churchill.
Have
the
Spurs got insurance? Let's quickly talk about not just the game. Obviously, Spurs disappointing, frustrating exit in the FA Cup last night in the fifth round. Obviously, a certain situation after the game with Eric Dyer confronting a fan. There was conflicting reports at the end of the game for it was this reason, it was that reason. Yeah. How quick social media can spread rumours. For you guys, what actually happened and where do you stand on it? Because there's mixed reaction to how Eric Dier reacted to this.
I think we've got some clarification now as far as we understand that it's more of an issue that his brother was being abused, and obviously he felt that the need to defend his brother. And listen, I'm a family guy. Family's my world. So anyone that, you know, would want to hurt your family, you would do anything in your in your power and your life to stop that from happening. So whilst I can totally understand Dier, you know, going into the stand to try and help his brother, I don't know if I can condone it, but I can understand it. And it is a really, really tricky one. Yeah. It is a tricky decision. And I hope he doesn't get banned or, you know, he's fined by the club, because his intentions were the right reason. You do anything for your family. So
I think it came down to that Eric Dier was obviously being abused and his brother's obviously stood up for him.
Yep.
And the problem is
that
these players are under so much, you know,
pressure
in terms of from the fans. You know, last night, how many times are we getting on players' backs? And that does frustrate me. You know, people will say all this stuff about mental health, but unfortunately, they don't carry it through, and they'll do stuff like that in the stadium where they're abusing a player. It's difficult.
He played very well in the position that he's in. He did play very well, Dier.
Yeah, in terms of the position that he's in as a professional, he can't do that. But, you know, if we'd seen our brother in an altercation,
we can't do that. So now people think they can get away with it because then he can't say anything back. But I almost feel like maybe I'm not allowed to say that. I feel like good on Dier.
Well, look, anyone listening to this show right now thinks they're perfect and they need a reality check. Right? Exactly. Every single person listening to this show now has made a mistake at some shape or form. And it's up to us to put it on the barometer of how serious it is. Could have been a lot worse. Could have been an Eric Cantona moment. Yeah. He didn't do anything. He didn't lash out. He just went up there to make sure that it is a protection. I was still in the stand. I was watching it from the south stand, so I was quite far away. Didn't get to see it. Just looked like a bit of a melee. And I was thinking, is that a player over there? And then it transpired to be Eric Dier. Yeah. But look, the reality of the situation is, frustrations happen, passions boil over. You know, like you say, he did play pretty well. We've just gone out on a penalty shootout. He must have been gutted. And then he is, whatever the abuse is going on, he protects his brother. It's easy done, isn't it?
People never understand from a different perspective, and then no one will ever understand from Dier's. They won't look at Dier's perspective from it. He's a brother's in an altercation with a fan. Of course he's going to jump in.
Yeah, take the football element out of it and just think about that on its own.
People sitting at home and whatever, you know, they'd do the same. They want to do the same. They'd go and do the same. And because it's not them, then they're just going to criticise him. And that's what I don't like. So for me, I don't know. I thought it was fine.
Yeah, I have to say I agree with Jamie. Let's get to your listener questions, because, again, we have to send thanks for everyone that is sending questions. Because you really play a part in the show. 105 questions, as Lee said earlier. Well, obviously, we'll try to get through as many as possible. But some of the questions are similar, but we will try to persevere with them. The first one, and question two, really, we can kind of stick together. The first one comes from Aaron, at Aaron Pitters, saying, why was Mourinho brought in? I thought it was to stabilise the team, to secure top four, to make a run in the FA Cup. He is failing at this. He has failed terribly all over. We're getting slaughtered. We will get slaughtered in Leipzig. What is going on? And the second question, which kind of ties into question one, is from Riley, at Riley685, saying, the board has ruined everything positive about this club. We're going backwards, bringing in Mourinho a lesson in how not to build successfully.
The thing I'd say about that is Jose Mourinho was brought in to bring that stability and try and get results. Now, one thing that he has always been very good at is the defensive side. He's always been able to build a really strong defence. Now, I look at our defence, and especially the goals we conceded on the weekend, they were all individual errors. I think there was
the first or second goal.
It was Eric Dier miskicked, and then Japhet Tanganga miscontrolled the ball, and then it allowed Wolves to score. Mm. And that's where it is. I think there was individual errors yesterday, wasn't it?
What's Vorm doing now?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the hard thing. That when people say Jose was brought in and one of the main things he does is always strengthen the defence. Mm. Did he have as many players making the individual errors that we have at his other clubs? Did he have it at United, at Chelsea? I'm not too sure. Can it be his fault when those players cross the white line, they make the individual errors they do? I don't think that's down to Jose Mourinho. We've seen this continuously under Pochettino as well.
Yeah, well, that's it. I remember Jason saying last year, you can have kind of any tactics, but they go out the window if you're going to make those sort of errors.
Look at that opportunity yesterday for Lucas to square the ball. I think it was to Dele. He's about 15 acres of space, and all he has to do is just pass to him, get an assist, Dele tap in, just game over. Yeah. And it's the decision-making individually, the players. It's the players' individual mistakes in some instances that are costing us. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like sometimes, that, you know, since Jose's come in, there's shackles been put on the team. And it goes back to one of the callers made earlier. I can't remember who it was. It said about, it might have been Jordan, that the style of play don't suit the players that we've got. Yeah. It might have been Schubert. I can't remember. Sorry, we've had too many calls. But the reality is that's what it feels like, didn't it, Rick? Is it like,
but what worries me,
are on.
This has got signs of how Man United... If you talk to Man United fans... This is exactly what they say in terms of shackles being put on the players. Mm. And then suddenly, once Jose left that club, they felt released again.
Yeah, and that's why they had an upturn in form under Solskjaer with 17 games. Yeah. Because they were hang on a minute, we're free.
We can
go and play.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm sure we do still hope we can somehow turn this around. But he's going to have to adapt big time. And the comments, like Lee and Jay have said, I mean, that's going to have to it's going to have to stop. But will it stop? It's Jose Mourinho. I don't know a man that would ever... Can you stop him?
Well, actually, not all the questions are on Jose. A lot are on the board as well. This one's from Jay Knight saying, do you think the way the chairman does deals makes the players feel like they are a bargain basement bucket rather than an elite athlete brought in to win? Which of them manifests as players because they don't have belief in themselves because the organisation doesn't have belief in them? How can they expect to achieve anything when there is no belief?
Wow, it's a very good point. I don't know. I think it is, Jane. What are you saying?
I get the point and I do think it's good. But if you're really having that mindset of coming in and just because the club's tried to get the best price for you, I don't know. I don't think that's a very good attitude. I think that you should be getting on and performing. I don't think that should be an issue. I do understand that point.
Maybe
and I think
it's not
it is
a price
a good point.
Thing. Maybe it's not a price thing. Maybe I suppose where we're coming from on that is it's the love for the player. I want you to go. Look at Ndombele, with all the stuff that we're saying about burgers and this, that and the other. He signed for Pochettino.
Exactly, didn't sign
for
Mourinho. Exactly.
And he's come in thinking, right, I'm going to get... And then Pochettino's gone.
That's the job of the manager. I think there was reports about the meeting that he had with Pochettino and that Pochettino totally convinced him
to come. That's what I mean.
Yeah,
project. Exactly. So that's all that matters. That's all that needs really from the club is the manager or whoever has the philosophy to come in and sell it to the player.
Next question comes from Dan Whitting saying, realistically, if we kept Poch, would we be in a better position or the same one as we are now?
It's a very high and hard question, but we have to be honest and say, look, all of us sitting here right now wanted Poch to turn it around. We all did.
Yep.
We all did. Jamie never wavered. Lee, to be fair, never wavered.
I'm
going to be honest and say that after that Sheffield United game, the majority of those players stopped running. Harry Kane even stopped running. And then subsequently since, and we've all heard stories, again, I keep saying this, that, you know, he wasn't coming out for training. You know, the whole Amazon thing really upset him. So I think when you put all that into account...
You talk about the board and some of the questions coming in from the board, and you're right, put it all out into account. You know, I think, you know, what sent Poch over the edge, it wasn't one thing or two things. It was three, four, five, six.
Combination, you're right.
And to take the Amazon documentary, another commercial decision by the football club.
Yeah.
And actually, now, if it's transpiring that Poch didn't want Amazon there, yet...
We still did it.
We did it anyway.
Amazon can't believe their luck, can they, Rick?
No, this is for them. I tell you what, they've got so much material, they might need to do this on two series, three series.
We are going
to
win something after we'll probably win an Oscar. So there you go.
Look, I mean, but when you put it, disasters never happen with one particular thing. It's always little things.
Yeah.
1% here, 3% there, 4% there, that actually ends up adding up.
Yeah.
And it's the same. We talk about fine margins in the game, but it's also fine margins in the boardroom as well. You know, what ifs, could haves, would have, it's gone. What we need to think about now is, okay, stake in the ground. I've said it, it's the third time I'm saying it on the show. Put a stake in the ground with the end in mind. Where are we going? Where does this crazy train pull into?
Yeah.
Is it a Champions League win? Is it a Premier League title chase and win? Is it enough? But again, it's not dreaming it. It's, you have to put a stake in the ground. If you go after something.
I do understand the point about that comes from the board, but I do think it comes from the manager as well.
From
I
everybody.
Mean, we saw the
everybody
way
needs to be on the same
sat here and said with Mourinho, he's a short-term manager. We've all sat here and said that. Lee, your first words, I think, when he first came in, you said, you know, who knows how it's going along.
That's what Spurs need at the moment. It does feel as though Spurs need some direction again. They need a clear philosophy because the players were clearly so that they were done mentally.
1 million percent.
And unfortunately, that's the big thing about Mourinho, and maybe why I have slight doubts about him now is because the players need that. They need a direction. They need belief again. And unfortunately, they're not quite getting that from Mourinho.
Just quickly, let's fit in one more question. This one coming from DKR Rain saying, I'm sick of the negativity. No Kane, no Musa. We've lost our strength in midfield. We didn't have Hugo last night. Please be realistic. How are we judging Jose right now? Absolutely ridiculous.
Again, it's another point. I don't think he's talking about the show tonight. I think he's just talking about
general.
Just in general. That's where the fan base is crying. Rick was like,
I can't believe it. I think we've been quite fair.
I think it's quite a good point because it's what we went back to before. It's not really good and it's not really bad. It's somewhere in the middle. Yeah. And you know what we've done. And again, I'm gonna credit him because he said it. Jay said when he was still on the show, we go two games on the trot, and then we go a game lost, and then we go one game win, and then we go two games lost. And that's what happened before that Chelsea defeat. We were undefeated in seven matches. Now we've lost four on a bounce. Mental.
Second best Premier League form, I think.
We're so
fickle as fans, aren't we?
The top line and the bottom line, it's somewhere in between.
People forget where they come from. I'm sure Man City fans right now in the position they're in, you know, where they came from, they've been winning league titles, but they're going to be disappointed right now. And people never understand where we've come from.
Yeah,
they have,
so true.
They have.
It was a mad week. I understand what Jay means. They thought they was getting a European ban and they win a trophy. It's crazy, though. We've got half an hour to go on the Spurs Fan Show. We're going to take more of your calls and do your questions and look towards that game with Burnley.
Love Sport.
Listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. As you already know, of course, you've been with us for the last hour and there is still 30 minutes to go. I'm joined with the last word on Spurs, Ricky Sachs, Jamie Brand and Lee McQueen. We will be doing a full Burnley preview for you in just around 15 minutes' time. But let's talk now a little bit the tale of two keepers. Please, Ricky, start us off.
Talk to me.
Well, Michel Vorm in the first half gave us a warning of what was to come because he nearly threw one in his own net to begin with. Then the goal came up, which, again, all over the place. And I'll be honest with you, when it went to penalties, I'm never, ever confident with penalties. Maybe that's me being a Tottenham fan, just generally.
Well, you said the stat earlier, wasn't it? 10 penalty shoots out in whatever.
We've lost 10 out of 12 penalty shootouts. Mentally crushing. But in that shootout, you see the preparation from Tim Krul.
Unbelievable.
That
you
is
see his water ball, right? You see his water ball. He had players on there. How did he even know that they were going to take a penalty?
But do you not think he always has a good game against us? Down the years, Krul.
Yeah, maybe. But
But I think. But also, I mean, that's
so
like insane preparation, brilliant preparation from him. But Michel Vorm should never have been anywhere near the starting lineup. I don't understand that from Jose Mourinho. For a man that does take the domestic cups seriously, to do that and put him in there when we've seen the past, he's messed up for us in the cups before.
It was an individual error that has cost us yesterday, but it's one that we kind of inflicted on ourselves because we should not have picked him. I think it's 200 plus days since he last featured in a game, Michel Vorm. And you're playing him in one of our most important games of the season.
I mean, does Gazzaniga need a rest?
Gazzaniga, but that's the one thing. Sometimes maybe he does chop and change a lot, and that doesn't help. You know, we know at the moment we're trying to find that philosophy of a way of playing and getting around having no Kane and Son, but we keep changing it so much, and that doesn't help.
What I'll say about the tale of two goalkeepers, insane preparation, right, from Tim Krul. Mm. Absolutely tip my hat to, you know, he's gone out, he's done his own work, he's done the preparation, like all good professionals should do. Fair enough. What I would say about Michel Vorm is that this is the second season on the trot with two different managers at the club that we've used three goalkeepers in a season.
Yep.
Now, I might be totally wrong here, and like, get on the Twitter at Lee McQueen if you want, at Last Word on Spurs, and tell me what other teams have done that? Because I just don't think that other teams have used... I'm not talking about two goalkeepers, I'm talking about three. Three goalkeepers in a season. We did it last year under Poch, we've done it now under Mourinho. It's weird.
I want to ask you another question. Obviously, he's going around on Twitter circulating that video where Mourinho is sitting by himself to watch the penalties.
I think that's... go on.
Because that question, you know, leading from the front, You've heard that, you know, that old-fashioned, sure, you know, business phrase.
That's just normal. I think he had the monitor there as well, and you could. That's a quote this type picture. I mean, that could say a picture speaks a thousand words, but that could be that
because Guardiola does
watches.
That. Guardiola's, you know,
it could
very
be that he's a superstition
himself.
And he never watches it or whatever. So I personally wouldn't read too much into that.
Yeah, you've got to be a body language expert to be able to read from that what or be able to make a proper judgment from that. And I think sometimes the managers don't quite like to get so involved. I think one thing as well, in terms of was he getting involved yesterday, a lot of the time when players were making mistakes and the crowd were getting on their backs, it was Mourinho that was leaping out of his seat, encouraging them and saying, that's okay. And so maybe as fans, we have been a bit hypocritical there because we're criticising him for not getting involved, whereas... you know, us as fans, we're getting on their backs, but he was the one that was kind of encouraging them throughout the 90 minutes. I think it's difficult to make a proper judgment on that.
I just want to just squeeze in also, Troy Parrott missed his penalty. Harry Kane missed his first penalty for Tottenham. This kid's still got a long way to go yet. Yeah. I just hope Jose just lightens up a little bit in terms of his comments towards Troy, because if ever a young kid needs a break...
There's lots of players in that team. That's the thing. And I know I'm kind of going back and forth on Jose Mourinho, but a lot of these players need that arm around their shoulder. Yeah. I think Tongi and Ndombele is especially one. Over the last couple of years, year or so, a lot of them have struggled, and they've struggled mentally, and they need that manager that's going to be able to be there to support them.
But just on that, I mean, I don't disagree with that in terms of some of them players need that, but Jose Mourinho wants players that are already mentally tough. He wants players, and if you look back, and I'll go back to the Chelsea days or whatever as well, you look at the Chelsea days, he was an outstanding man manager. Toby's already said that about him, at Tottenham.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had a core of that side that would run through walls.
I think Lamella's the big one and why he's such a big fan of him.
Because mentally, maybe Jose sees him mentally strong enough to be able to go and win stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas these other players that we have to, put an arm around or whatever, then maybe they're not... Look, I'm not saying all of them, but maybe they're not mentally strong enough. I do, just while you brought up Troy, I want to also bring up Jedson as well, because although it was a weak penalty, he's also 18, just come into the team.
And
it's unfortunate. We just brought up Lamella there. Lamella should have put his penalty away. And actually, if he puts his penalty away, we probably win the penalty shootout, because
I don't know, it's Tottenham.
it's a difficult
stop
one,
that, stop that. Let's go to another call. This time, John from Raynham in Kent. John, what are you making of it all? Thanks for calling in to us.
Hello, guys.
You're right, John.
Love your show.
Save us, John.
Come on, John.
One of you guys just made a remark about Mourinho. I'd like him, what you just said, I'd like him to play the way Spurs play, not the way he wants to play. Mm. You know, like, we play attacking football. I've been a supporter for 60-odd years. Yeah. We play attacking football, and we won things. No, we don't won a tremendous lot of things, but we play good football. But this way Mourinho's playing, we're not playing well. And it's a bit boring.
Yeah. I think it also comes down to where I can understand, yes, maybe he does play a more defensive style. We just haven't seen any ambition at the moment. And
that's true.
Although I've kind of defended why we haven't been showing ambition, it is getting to a point now where it is.
I'm the same as you as well, and I agree, John, to a certain degree. For my perspective, if you're shutting up shot and playing two banks of four, flat back five and four in front, and you're winning 1-0. Kind of could potentially stomach that. As some people would be screaming at radio now, but maybe you could stomach that because you're winning matches or not conceding.
Yeah.
But we're not doing either.
No,
we're
no.
still conceding no. and we're still losing and we're playing boring football. So it's kind of like, well, you might as
we're
well just take the
anything.
Shackles off and go back to the you have a shot, we have a shot, because at least it's more entertaining.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Is better than Eusebio and Burnley are in for a freshing.
John,
how about that?
Love that, John. Cheers for calling. Right.
Thank you, John.
Cheers, John. Always good to hear the callers. We're going straight to another one. They are always coming thick and fast, but this one will be known to you because it is time for the tradition. Adrian's corner. Adrian, tonight. Please give a any ray of hope that you can offer.
Well, of course. Well, good evening, guys.
Hey, Adrian.
Have the antidepressants kicked in yet?
We've got them. Yep.
Well, there, mate, I just want to talk about... I know we're going through a sticky patch at the moment, but if all the players have been fit in the squad, do you think Bergwijn would have got as much game time? Would we have seen Japhet Tanganga if Ben Davies had been fit as much as him? If Sissoko and that had been fit and all that time, would we have even signed Lo Celso, who's been absolutely brilliant for us, right? And looks a real star. You know, I mean, so And look about young Skip yesterday. He was fantastic, wasn't he? So, like, would he, Sissoko or other midfielders kept him out of the team? So, what this has done, I mean, I feel for Mourinho in a way because he's been forced to experiment. Now it looks like the players that are tired that we rely on up front, you know, the wide players, they're in the red zone. Mm. So I think we'll see changes against Burnley. I think Lamella will have to start, and I actually think Ndombele and Skip will have to start as well.
Mm. It's interesting you talk about, Adrian, you talk about sticky patch. I quite like that. I like calling it sticky patch because actually it means that it's not permanent. It means that we can move away from this. And actually, when you look at, try and take the positive out of it, like you say, there's game time being given to the likes of Jaffet and the likes of Oliver Skip now, and all that sort of stuff that maybe we wouldn't have seen certainly this season. So, you know, it's little positives there for sure. But, you know, it is testing a lot of the fan base at the moment watching that negative football, I have to say.
Yeah, Adrian, we really appreciate you calling in to us. Always a delight to hear from you.
Cheers,
it is
Adrian.
A tradition.
Cheers,
every week. I just wanted to quickly ask, what do you make of, obviously, the defensive record at the minute? Because, obviously, it's two clean sheets in 13 games, and everyone's saying, we know Jose's a serial winner, but obviously, he's going to improve that defence, he's going to change it. Yes, he can only work with a squad there, but it's not been the Jose we've seen.
I think he overrated this squad. That's what I think from the outside. You know, when you look at it now, I think coming in, and this is again what Lee said earlier, this is credit to Maurizio Pochettino for what he got out of this squad for the time he was here, because he improved these players beyond any, you know, beyond any measure you could put on it. That's what Maurizio Pochettino did, and managers from the outside thought this is a really, really talented squad. And, you know, since he's obviously departed, and obviously at the end we saw why he had to go, you can now see this Spurs squad to some degree, you know, it's underperforming.
I don't think it's necessarily they're under. I think it's not just the case they're underperforming as well. Or,
they're lacking in confidence.
Ability. I don't think it's lacking in ability. This squad, I think it's just lacking in confidence.
And it does
come back down to, we need a manager that's going to be positive, and that's the big. And as me and Lee have said, that's our biggest annoyance at the moment, and that's the thing that does, the number one thing that needs to change. We need a manager that is going to be positive.
It's not happy clapper white or unrealistic, but we all know where the problems are having. Why can't Mourinho come out and say, look, yeah, we've lost Kane, but don't worry, we're working on stuff day in, day out.
But why can't
he come out and say that sort of stuff? Maybe he's saying that in the dressing room.
It's true, though.
Maybe Stelios talked about it earlier.
He will never do that. Have you ever known Mourinho in his time here or abroad to ever sit there and say, look, we'll get through it. It's just not him.
You can't change him.
And I think, you know, as fans, we want to hear that. You know, because Maurizio would always say, no, but we've got options. We can adapt. I think with Mourinho, there is no adaptation. You know, you have to either adapt to him or it's just not going to work.
Why, Rick, he's won so much? That's the thing. I don't know the answer to that question, but is that the reason? Because he is so mentally strong to say, no, this is where we're going. And actually, Stelios talked about earlier, he's calling the board out, whatever, and previous managers wouldn't have done that. So that's because he's a winner.
But the worrying
thing is his
tactics outdated now to what they were before?
Well, that's the big question about Jose. But everyone was saying, you know, his tactics are outdated, but he had this time away. Surely it only reinvigorated him, really. I think it all matters from year two. We're going to jump to another call straight away, this time from Adam, calling from Virginia in the United States. Remember, you can always call as well, 0208 7020 558. Adam, what are you making of it all?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Yeah, not too bad, mate.
You? Thank you.
Good. I wanted to say hi to Lee. It's been a while, Lee. How you doing?
Yeah, good, man. Good. I just come back from Austin, actually. I flew back in from Austin, Texas yesterday. So I know it's not...
Oh, nice.
I know it's nowhere near Virginia, but I just thought I'd up. I was across the pond yesterday. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, cool.
This is turning into the Lee fan show. Sorry, Adam.
We might get more results that way, though.
No, I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask a couple quick questions.
Yeah,
question number one, do you think Serge Aurier is good enough to be a right winger?
Well, I'll quickly answer that. I prefer him more as a right winger than a right back, put it that way, because at least he won't have any defensive howlers. But I'm not sure. I think personally Serge's time at Tottenham is over, to be honest.
Yeah, I think as a player, maybe he's probably not quite that level that Spurs are kind of aiming for. In terms of even a right back, it's
concentration levels for him, isn't it? It's concentration levels for Serge. I actually remember turning to my mate yesterday and going, "There you go. Look, you could, where we sit, we've got a good vantage point, and you could just see that it do sank brilliant." And you'd be like, "Oh, go on, Serge." And then he just go for 5 minutes.
It's that lack of effort as well. It's
just mental.
Yeah, big shout out to Colsey. Adam, what's question two?
Well, the only reason I asked that is because we already have the guy and it would solve the defensive gaps. I mean, if he lunges in on someone at the halfway line, it's not a penalty, right? question number two, I want you guys to project your minds forward not to the end of this season, but the end of next season.
God, that's a
long way to go. Who has more starts for Tottenham Hotspur the end of next season? Troy Parrott or Keon Ntete?
Blimey.
That's a good question.
You've thrown that one out, Adam.
Depends who the manager is.
Do you see him getting game time, Keon Ntete, at all?
Well, he's more of a target man, isn't he? And that's what Jose Mourinho traditionally likes.
He is. I mean, I think he's done fairly well for the youth team at the moment. But I think Troy Parrott kind of does seem more at that stage where, you know, he's getting in the first team. He's getting those opportunities.
He's getting on the bench.
I think with Keon Ntete, it does seem that he is kind of sticking in the youth at the moment.
It's really interesting. That is a good debate. We need to look into that one a little bit more, Adam. Who knows where we are next week, let alone at the end of next season. Adam, really appreciate you calling into us. We always do. Adam from Virginia there in the United States. We are talking, though, about Burnley on the weekend next. It is our preview, and we are going to be looking at that one because it is massive. It is the away game, but it's coming this weekend.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Spurs Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with a last word on Spurs. Ricky Sacks, Lee McQueen and Jamie Brand. Well, it is time for us to look towards the game on the weekend. We don't want to, but there is an away game. But that can be a good thing sometimes. Straight back into action. Burnley on the weekend. Not the best place to go, Turf Moor, of course. But we remember the result, actually. Maybe it was Jose's best performance, the home result against Burnley. Yeah. That wonderful goal. Yeah, stay with me, Ricky. Just give me a little bit of positivity. Maybe that can spark the team. Jamie, what are we making of it?
No, I don't know. It's difficult, and especially after Jose Mourinho's comments about we don't know which game. We can't prioritise both the RB Leipzig game and the Burnley game. I don't want to say that again. But look, it is difficult because I think that this is probably the game that I don't see us prioritising. I think that if it was down to the board, I think they will choose probably to go in that Champions League game. So you don't know what side we're going to go with. And we look at Burnley's recent form. I mean, it did surprise me to see that they've picked up 14 points from a possible 18 in their last six games or so. And they've beaten some big sides. They've beaten Leicester. They've beaten Manchester United recently. So unfortunately, they're in really good form, which is really quite typical. And as Lee pointed out to me earlier, they can go ahead of us on the weekend.
They go above us, don't they, if they win.
Exactly. And that for me, I don't know, that is embarrassing, and unfortunately I'm not really looking forward to the weekend's game.
Yeah, not looking forward to the weekend's game, but what formation, what tactics, what selection can we expect on the weekend, Ricky?
I honestly don't know. I mean, again, we're going to be pretty much sticking with some of the same players we've got, unless, as Mourinho says, you know, he's going to prioritise the RB Leipzig game. How many more minutes can you get out of Chelsea? How many minutes can you get out of Steven Bergwijn?
Yeah.
How many minutes can you get out of Dele Alli? Yeah. Lucas Moura? I don't know.
1 year ago and 2 weeks to the day when it comes around for Burnley, a Maurizio Pochettino side went to Burnley away with Mike Dean as a referee.
Yep.
Harry Kane come back from injury, scored on his return. We went 1-0 up and seemingly cruising to be on joint second in the Premier League. This is 1 year and 2 weeks ago. I'm going to be Mr. Positive now, and I'm going to say, in 1 year and 2 weeks, full circle, we're going to go to Burnley. We're going to reverse the result. That day we lost 2-1. It all kicked off. And that was the start of the end. It was the start of the beginning of the decline.
Yeah.
Yes, we got through the Champions League, whatever, but that was, Poch went mad. It was all, and then we lost 13 games that season, ended up using 13 games and dropped off completely. this is a full circle moment. This is the moment we're going to turn it back around. We're going to take some points at Burnley. We're going to start a little mini run together. We're going to go to Leipzig. And then the week that we've just had will now turn itself on its head. And by the time next weekend comes, we'll be in a much better position.
Please, God.
It's the hope that keeps you. Talk to me.
Look, it is that. Because at the end of the day, well, we're going to go up there and just be negative and already beaten before we go there. You know, we need, as a team, as players, people put their arm around and whatever, we need to get a bit of a backbone. We need to get some bone. The away fans, outrageous. They are so good. Mm. They sing and sing. And we need to go up there and be confident enough to get a result, to go and have a go and get a result at Burnley. And I believe with a bit of fight and a bit of determination, red zone, yellow zone, pink zone, whatever zone we're in, go and win. It's a must win game. We've got to do it.
I really want to be positive like Lee, but I just unfortunately can't see where that fight's going to come from. I don't even know if we've got it in us, the fight left, enough
that's
energy
just,
to
like
show that
fight. You've always
said,
Jay, that comes from the manager.
Exactly, and we need
Mourinho to, you know, Mourinho, hopefully on Friday's press conference, which hopefully you'll be listening to the show before that press conference, hopefully he's going to be in a more joyous mood and he's going to try and give us some confidence.
There's nothing to lose now. We're almost like going in as underdogs in the match. Like, you may as well go up there
we've got the same odds to win.
Well, what worried me was even a Wolves game where Wolves are favourite against Tottenham.
Yeah, well,
and we're the home
Burnley,
side.
We don't need the odds.
We don't need the odds.
When I was looking at the odds, it was the same odds for both sides to win. So I think that says a lot, but Mourinho's...
You would love him to use this as a siege mentality to say, look at the outside, look at the media portraying
us.
He
loves this. He loves siege mentality stuff.
But
that's
he needs to use it
builds.
To our advantage.
No, I agree. Yeah. Maybe he's trying that as well. But, you know, I just think that, you know, maybe I'm being too optimistic, but, you know, it's the hope that keeps you, it's the hope that kills you, isn't it, Charlie? But at the end of the day, that's why we go to football to have fun and enjoy what we're doing. And actually, again, come back to Jace, made a point before, is he wants to, and a lot of the callers, John made a point earlier, you know, sometimes it is about how you set up, it is about how you play. Mm. And if you go out and you lose 3-2 or 4-3 or, you know, a close 2-1, at least you've had a go. You know, I don't think that we, against Wolves, it was a classic game of two halves. We won the first half, they won the second half. That's how it was. And, you know, when you look at that, two teams very, very close together. Now, Burnley are a different kettle of fish. They've done brilliant. It's under the lights at their stadium on Saturday. But why not go and have a go and see what happens? If we lose, we lose. We've got nothing to lose because half the fan base thinks we're going to anyway.
The thing for me is these comments, and I will come back to them. Which game are we going to prioritise? I mean, I don't know which game you think. I don't know what you guys think.
Mourinho loves the Champions League, doesn't he?
Well, that's the problem.
But we are still only 5 points off the top four.
Sometimes it's about personal pride, right? And whatever you do, sometimes it's about putting a shirt on and personal pride. Yeah. Like, you're getting paid to do a job. Go and do it.
Whether or not
it's a player's thing, whether or not it's a confidence thing, whether you've eaten too many burgers at the weekend, too many, the reality situation is, go out there, put a shirt on and give it some personal pride. And it only takes one moment. We've just seen it. We've seen it all the time. It takes one or two moments to turn the season. Go out there, Jose, I hope you're listening to our fan show and our podcast. Go out there and give them the confidence. Do what you did in the beer advert. Lots of beers available. Do what you did in the beer advert and get these players fired up to go and win at Burnley. We can take him down.
We've had a tweet from our very own Jason McGovern. He is saying, the problem with all these priority comments, Jamie, that you just referred to, is that what does he say to the players in the non-priority game? How does he keep them on board and up for it when this is a game that we're not prioritising?
That is, again, another worry.
It's a great point.
Yeah, and that's why we miss him. And for those that have asked me, I've tried to get Jason back.
We do miss Jason.
He's not having it. Bless him. I think he's just... He got out when the time was right, wasn't he?
Danny Rose moved to Newcastle.
The priority thing is that, you know, if you're going into a Carabao Cup third round tie and you're playing your second string team, it's a bit obvious, isn't it? Like, what you're prioritising? Like, come on. You don't need to actually spell out, is it prioritised or not? That's the reality.
Yep.
The fact that he's coming out and saying stuff like that, maybe what Stelios said is a message to the board. But I think he needs to cut that sort of stuff out and just get on with the pitch.
When you're challenging the board, I fear it only ends one way.
Well, that's the thing, and he did. He directed it at the board as well.
He's on 15 million a year now, so he'll get paid off, wouldn't he?
Not at the start, it only ends one way, like Lee said, because he's got that big, hefty contract. And if the fans are side with Jose and they see that.
Pochettino had a big, hefty contract as well, and the club paid him off.
I don't think that the club, to be fair, the club's got nothing to lose because their reputation amongst the fans is awful.
Yeah, at the moment. True.
So they really, exactly. They,
nothing to lose, isn't it?
Exactly. For them, it's
a shot to nothing, as they say in snooker.
Shot to nothing. Ricky, how will it play out in your score prediction?
I'm going to have to be honest.
From Ricky left then.
No, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to say...
Don't do
2-1
it.
2-1 Burnley. That's me being honest. I'm not going to lie. I don't want to lie on here. It's not fair. It's not fair, and Patrick Hudson supporters as well, to lie.
I got really serious then. I don't want to lie on here.
No, I'm going to be honest. I think it'll be 2-1 Burnley. Yeah.
I was definitely not about to say 2-1 Burnley. But I will go with 2-1 Tottenham.
2-1 Burnley. Lee, you said it will be the catalyst for change. It's coming full circle. So what is the prediction?
Yeah,
so
I'm going to agree with Jamie. It's going to be the same result, but the reverse. It's going to be 2-1 Spurs. I think it'll be a tight game for sure, but I think we'll get the points, and we need the points. Go out and win. It's a bit of confidence.
Can I just say, I hope these boys are right. And again, I just want to say a massive thank you to everybody listening into our shows on a weekly basis. This has been a really tough season. Generally, obviously, these guys have been brilliant, obviously. But for us, I think doing the shows week on week, it does get harder in this period. We had great years under Maurizio. We want that to be under, obviously, Jose Mourinho and him to bring success to the club. But I just want to say a massive thank you for sticking by us. Hopefully, like these guys are predicting, we're going to have a win at the weekend. And the good times, as Lee says, hopefully be back upon us.
Always nice to end on a high like that, because it is the last word and we have to end on a last speech, a passionate one from Ricky Sex there. But either way, it's a massive week for Spurs, what with Burnley, then RB Leipzig. We'll be back next week. The crazy train is still got time on the tracks yet. We will see you next week on the Spurs Fan Show. You've been listening to Ricky Sex, Jamie Brand, Lee McQueen. Up next is the Watford Fan Show. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. All aboard!
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.